Now it's time to watch this video, and I want you to see if you recognize anything from it. All right, we're going to dim the lights, and let's go ahead and play.
Gentlemen, welcome to another dad battle. Now, is anybody, and I mean anybody at all, willing to face our champion?
Gentlemen, my son joined the golf team at school, so I bought him an extra pair of socks in case he gets a hole in one.
Hole in one.
These dad jokes are so effortless.
See that? That's why he's the champ.
That's nothing. The other day, my daughter said a good Christian dad would buy her a car. So I said, well, a good Christian kid would walk. Because that's what Jesus did.
Fathers!
Listen up, son. Just because God picked your nose doesn't mean you should.
When you start paying the bills, you can make some of the rules.
Come on!
Yeah. Hold up! Who touched the thermostat? Yeah!
That lawn isn't going to mow itself.
Let me stop what I'm doing and fix your boredom.
Hi, Hungry. I'm Dad.
I love the smell of Home Depot in the morning. Oh, yeah.
Just wait till your mother gets home.
What? Pull my finger.
Nah. Just rub some dirt on it.
Proud of you.
You can do hard things.
I love you. No matter what.
When God made you, He made something very special.
Proudest day of my life is the day you made me a father.
I thank God for you every time I get on my knees and pray.
And again, who gives this woman?
No.
Oh, you look at me. You look at me. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I do.
Do you recognize anybody? Our own Travis Kanaday was in that. Congratulations, Travis. Now, we show that not to celebrate Travis, but to celebrate fathers. And friends, as I was preparing this message, I was doing some research. Things are not good, dads. Of all of the issues that we face in our society, one of the most common factors among young men, especially, who abuse drugs and alcohol, men who are involved in premarital sexual activity, men who are involved in violent crimes. The one thing that seems to connect every single one of these people is a lack of a father in the home. Men, we have been given an amazing privilege, and I don't just mean to tell all those awful dad jokes, although they're fun sometimes, right? But we've also been given an amazing responsibility. We're going to read from two passages of Scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. And we're going to read these verses together. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And let's read them. The words are on the screen. And let's read them together. Here we go. Are you ready? Let's read. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for your love and for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that in these words that we have just read, Lord, we find what it means to truly be a father like you. And I pray, Lord, that as we delve into this, Lord, we'll see not only what we're to do, but how we can do it and why it matters. Lord, help us by the time we're done today to really be able to say that whether we are fathers ourselves, whether we are fathers to children who are not necessarily ours, whether we are future fathers, whether we are men who seek to pass kingdom values on to other young men, Lord, regardless of where we are on that spectrum, may we see how we can be used of you to advance your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that needs to happen in the hearts and minds of everyone who hears them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So when we read Ephesians 6:4, where do we tend to fall? Generally. We generally tend to fall on that verse, on the first part of that verse that says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. That's where my kids go. Right? Whenever they're getting frustrated with me, you'll notice that my older kids aren't here today. I think God had that happen for a reason. Maybe so that they could not contradict what I'm saying. Or maybe not. But either way, we focus on that. You know, our kids tend to throw that in our face and say, hey, Dad, you're exasperating me. But the rest of that verse is what? Bring up your children, fathers, in the training and instruction of the Lord. Believe it or not, dads, you have a responsibility to train your children. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how old your kids are, that responsibility never leaves you. Now, I know there are some here today who don't have children, but I want you to understand also that the fact that what I'm saying here doesn't just apply to biological fathers and sons. You can have a relationship with a young man in your community. You can have a relationship with a young man, maybe even in your family, a nephew you know what I'm talking about. Somebody in your family who you can pour into. And so these principles, they fall to you. look, we've cited earlier that the majority of these things that we're seeing in our country, in our society, where people are taking the lives of other people, that young men, 18, 19, 20 years old, are going out and just killing people for no apparent reason, that for the most part, fathers are not in the homes of these young men. And I'm not going to say that the fact that the fathers aren't there, that if the fathers were there, that this wouldn't have happened. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far and say that. But I am going to say that a father has an absolute influence on the life of a child, for good or bad. And so, dads, men, I want to give you two things that will help you be either a biological father or a spiritual father to someone. All right? So the first thing I want you to understand here is one of the things that Paul said in the first Thessalonians passage that we read is that dads need to encourage. Dads need to encourage. Paul says here, he says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." Encouraging, right? Dads need to encourage, right? Dads need to encourage those fathers, men, people. We need to encourage our children. When I was a kid, there were a lot of things that I did that were stupid. Can anyone relate? Okay, a few of you are good. Falling over tables, notwithstanding. But one of the things that I needed was someone to encourage me to not be so stupid. To slow down. To think. You put two or three kids in a room after a birthday party, God help you. They're running. Just tearing. I mean, they have absolutely no concern for their physical well-being. Am I right? I mean, they're just tearing around there, pushing each other, you know, playing tag or you know, wrestling or whatever. And there's absolutely no concern for anything else. And what do we always say? This always happened with me and my brother. My mom would always say, "You need to stop before somebody gets hurt." Right? And it wasn't 5 seconds after my mom said that, someone got hurt. And 98% of the time, that was me. And my brother would get in trouble. And I don't know if I maybe cried a little stronger because he was getting in trouble to get him worse. No, I'm just kidding. But dads, men, we need to encourage our children to be wise. We need to encourage our children to think, and not just think in the way that our world wants them to think, but to think critically, to think smartly. And look, one of the things I learned as a youth pastor was, and this was taught to me by one of our elders, and I remember it to this day, even with my own kids. That so often with children, we overestimate their maturity, we underestimate their intelligence, because kids are smart. Kids pick up on things. Kids are intuitive. Kids can figure things out faster than you and I can. That's why technology belongs to the young. So we underestimate their intelligence, but then we overestimate their maturity, right? They might be smart enough to use a smartphone, but they're not mature enough to use a smartphone. Does that make sense? And so as dads, it's our responsibility to help encourage critical thinking. Now, how do we do this? Well, the first thing that we do is, and back in the Ephesians 4 passage, is that we don't provoke our children. Right? That's the first thing. We need to do it in such a way that doesn't cause them to want to push us away. We have to do it in a way that is loving and kind. And teaching them, right? Helping them. We need to give help. Children need our help. Not just because they're short and can't reach the high shelves. They need our help because They haven't processed the life that we have processed. And this is where grandparents are so awesome. Is that as grandparents, you have processed so much life, no offense, that you can help not only your kids, but even your grandkids to understand what to do. Part of this encouragement might also include advising our children and grandchildren. And ultimately, as our kids grow up, the relationship changes from like parent lording over their children, and again, that's not what it's to look like, but you understand what I'm saying, to a parent encouraging and guiding their children. There never comes a time when your kids don't need you, parents. They might be all grown up, moved out of the house, and not there every night, sleeping in your bed or sleeping in their bed. Hopefully they're not sleeping in your bed at 21, but sleeping in under your roof and so forth. But they'll always need... it was weird. But they will always need your advice. They will always need your help. And when we give that, we need to give it in a way that encourages and loves and so forth. But not only do dads need to encourage, dads also, we must train our children. We have to train our children. Now listen, fathers, I'm going to say something that might get me into trouble, and I don't mean to sound unappreciative. But dads, we have really, for the most part, we have relegated that part of our responsibility to either our wives or the schools. And we need to seek God's forgiveness for that. Because God entrusts the training of our children to us men. And not just in ways of manhood, not just in ways of you know, fishing. We're on the next one, by the way. We are told in the scriptures that we are to bring up our children in the nurture and in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And that says that word training, that's day-to-day stuff. That we're the ones who need to train our children how to be wise. We are the ones who need to train our children how to do things. We are the ones who are to train our children. Now, our wives help, absolutely. And it's great to have them there and to be an encouragement, especially men when it comes to raising girls. I am glad I have a wife. Because I didn't have any sisters, so a lot of that stuff I kind of learned on the fly. But we need to train our children. We need to train them intellectually. Parents? Thank you. Parents? Fathers? We need to train our children intellectually. We need to have our children know what they need to know. And granted, schools are important. Education is important. I understand that. But ultimately, the things that our children learn need to come from us. And a lot of times in our public school systems, not necessarily here in Mercer County, but in our public school systems as a whole in this country, there is a lot of stupid stuff that they are teaching our children. I said it, I'm not going to take it back. There are things that have no business being in the classroom. And it's our responsibility as fathers to either A, combat that in the home by talking to our children and training them, or B, by being involved in school politics and being involved in the school boards and so forth, or maybe even God might call you to pull your kids out of school and homeschool them. I don't know. But dads, we have to be the ones who are giving our kids what they need. And dads, not only do we need to be training our kids intellectually, but we need to be training our kids emotionally as well. Now you might think, well, I'm not an emotional person. I don't care. Neither does God. Part of that training is how to handle hurt. How to handle when someone hurts you emotionally. Dads, look, I know so many men who cannot emote. Men who are, you know, they're the kind of, they're manly men. They will stand on, you know, they will be working on building something and hit their thumb with a hammer and they'll look at it. And they'll go, ouch, that hurt. You know? But men, we need to, if our kids don't learn how to deal with emotions from us, that becomes confusing. And men, I'll say this, especially to our young boys, if they don't know how to deal with their emotions, if we just tell them, hey, man up, stop crying, they're never going to know how to relate to other people, especially to their wives when they become of age to do that. Not only do we need to train them intellectually, not only do we need to train them emotionally, we need to train them spiritually. I'm going to say something that might make you mad, but I don't care because I want to say it. It is not my job. It is not the youth ministry's job. It is not your Sunday school teacher's job to teach your kids about God. Thank you. I got an amen. One, but amen. And men, it's not your wife's job to teach your kids about God. It's yours. Now, I realize that that puts an immense burden on you. But guess what? I'm not putting that burden on you. God is. Look at what it says here. Paul says, we treated each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And so we need to be men who are spiritually training our children. That we are telling them about who God is. That we are challenging them to be what God has called them to be. But bottom line is, and guys, I want to say this, and this is kind of extra. I believe this is happening because God, or somebody, not God, wants you to not hear this. Why don't we just turn that off right now? No, no. Okay. Well, all right. That's fine. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to focus in on what your Spirit is trying to say to us today. Lord, help me be clear. Help me be emptied of myself. Just fill me right now, Lord. Speak your words. Friends, God has called us men to be the spiritual leaders of our home. Now, women, if your husband refuses to be the spiritual leader in your home, then by all means, be the spiritual leader of your home. But pray for him. Encourage him to be involved in matters of spirituality. Encourage him to train. Encourage him, because there is so much out there that is pulling us away from God, pulling our kids away from God, pulling us as men away from him, that if we are not intentional, and I know some of you hate that word, but if we're not intentional about being spiritual leaders, our children are going to miss it. And they're going to walk away from faith when they get out of high school or out of the house, and they're just going to go do their own thing. Dads, we need to encourage, we need to train. Why does it matter? Because, friends, I want you to understand that dads are life. Dads bring life. Dads bring life to a family. When a dad is involved with his family, his wife is happier. His children are trained and encouraged in a way that God wants them to be. The family grows in a way that they ought to grow. They think together. They talk together. They argue together. They work through that emotion together. And they are able to stand strong in the face of opposition. Dads are the life of a church. If you see a church that is dying, I guarantee you, I would almost guarantee you that the majority of the dads in that church are absent. And it's not because women aren't good enough to run a church, but when men abandon their spiritual responsibility, there is judgment. And thirdly, I believe it matters because dads are of the life of a nation. So many dads today have walked out on their families. They've left their families. In fact, I saw something today that I think in many ways we train our children to walk out on their families. And you ask me, well, how do we do that? I will give you one word, and that word is this: dating. I think dating for young people is dumb. And I'll tell you why. Because in a dating relationship, you might be with someone for a month, 2 months, a year, maybe three. But always in the back of your mind, you're thinking, if things get weird or dumb, I can walk away. And then you do. And you find another person and you date them for a while, and then you walk away from them. And you meet another person, you date them for a while, you walk away from them. And then you find someone that you think is just the best, and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, and he puts a ring on it, or you give her a ring, and then you come to the altar and you pray and you make vows. You say, I do, and then you become man and wife. And then a week or a month or a year down the road, things start getting hard and difficult. And what's our first reaction? Well, it's just like what we've been taught in dating. I'll walk away. Now, look, I know some of you are dating right now, and I'm not trying to condemn you for that. Not at all. But dads, I think we have to take a very purposeful stance in what we say and allow our children to be a part of and to do. Let me try to encourage you, because I've slammed you pretty hard today, and I'm sorry. I love you guys, and a lot of times sometimes this job is so hard. Because you have to say things that you don't want to say. But dads, we are losing. For the most part, we are losing. And I look at my kids, and they're great. I love them. They're growing into pretty normal people. And I love them to death, and they're my pride and joy. I mean, after the Lord, they're who I take pride in, and not because of me, but because of who God is helping them become. But I know that their choices, you know, if they make choices the way that their dad made choices, that they're going to be in deep trouble. And so I pray that God would use me in spite of me. And listen, we're going to skip the challenges, Patty, okay? I want each of you to know, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, men, boys, listen to me up here. Every one of you, listen to me. God wants to use you to change this world. And He can use you to change this world. Men who don't have children, I know there's at least two in this room. God is going to use you to change this world if you are willing to be a dad to a kid who doesn't have one. Men, dads, God wants to use you to change this world. And it might not even be the whole world. Young boys, decide now to be the kind of man that God wants you to be. Don't wait until you get married or until you start thinking girls are cool. Right now, I know you especially think girls are sick. Yeah. But decide now. There was a man who was walking down the beach early in the morning. And as he walked and as the tide went out, he noticed all of these starfish on the shore, on the beach. And he looked at them and he thought, man, how sad it is. All these starfish are going to just dry up and die. And he kept on his walk down the beach, and as he went, he saw something on the horizon. And he kept walking towards it, and the figure that he saw went down, came up, and threw something into the ocean. And he went down, up again, and threw something into the ocean. As he got closer, he noticed it was a young boy. And this young boy was going through the beach, picking up starfish and throwing them back into the sea. And as the young boy, as the man came up to the young boy, he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm saving starfish." And the man looked at me, he goes, "But there are tens of thousands of starfish all up and down this beach. How can you ever hope to change their situation?" And the boy stopped for a minute with a starfish in his hand, and he said, "Well, sir, I may not be able to save all of them, but I can save this one." And he threw it back into the ocean. Men, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of broken young men in this world who have not had a father in their life. If you're a grandfather, maybe your kids are grown, they moved away, maybe you might have some time to make a difference in the life of one young man. You might not be able to change the whole world, but you can change the world for one young man. And whether that's your son or someone else's son, as men, we are called by God to nurture and to train in the instruction of the Lord, whether it's our own kids or whether it's someone whose father isn't there. We can be that. Will you be that man? Will you be that father? I'm done. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the dads in this room, the granddads in this room, the men who cannot be dads, those who are yet to be dads, those who are young men who are even just now beginning to learn how to live their lives for the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord, that as we sing to you, as we praise you, as we worship you, Lord, that our lives would be submitted to your will. That we would choose to bow our knees before you and say, "God, it is not about me. It is about you." I pray, Lord, that you would help us today in every decision that we make, that you become the single most important thing in our life, and that we would be able to pass that passion onto the young men in our life, whether they're our own children or someone else's. Lord, help us to be willing to change the world for one young man, young woman, whose father is gone. And Lord, I pray that you would bring a revival in this nation, among the fathers of this nation, many who have fathered children, maybe that they don't even know about, Lord, because of the promiscuity of our culture and because of the way in which we have failed to call men to account. Lord, forgive us, first of all, but also, Lord, bring these men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they might become the fathers that you want them to be. I pray for organizations like Pregnancy Resources up in Moline, Lord, who are trying to help not just young mothers who are pregnant out of wedlock, but these young men who are going to be fathers. Lord, help them to know what it means to be a dad. And Lord, use us to reach out and to love and be the example that you've called us to be. Help us to encourage. Help us to train. Because God, it matters. It matters for our families. It matters for our church. And it matters for our nation. Use us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.